Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word. All right, well, I want to continue in our series in Proverbs tonight. We've got a couple more after this, but this one tonight is one that I really wanted to talk about because all of us face an opportunity for a vice in our life of some type. So I'm talking about vices tonight. Vices, maybe you could call it bad habits. Maybe it's addictions that you're fighting or have fought. And so as we're talking about these tonight, I want you to know that I'm going to talk about 11 different ones. But as I'm talking about them, and I don't have time to dive into every one of them as its own sermon. So I'm just going to hit some highlights tonight and give you some verses out of Proverbs that talk about those. And as you hear one, you might go, well, I don't deal with that one at all. Well, hold on, I got 11 of them. So there might be one that you've had to fight. And so as I get to those, let the Lord speak to you. So I ask you tonight, what is on your mind when I say, what vices control or corrupt you? What vices have you had to fight in your own life that you've had to fight that this doesn't control me? Maybe what areas do I need to avoid because I'm concerned that that might get me? So what is that? Because here's the thing. We're going to be tempted, and the Bible says we're tempted by our own evil desires, and we have this habit of bringing this fault for why I was tempted, and I can tell you why you were tempted, and everybody can just raise their hands like this and go, it was me. Not pastor, I mean, you can do that on yourself. The temptations that we all face are horrible, and they're a tool that the enemy has. A vice is an evil, immoral, or wicked habit or practice. So if you were going to define it, that's what it is. Solomon, he wanted a wise son and nation. So he defined and he condemned various vices that enslaved men and women and would ruin their life. And I think it would be horrible if we didn't talk about these during the time we spent in Proverbs. He knew that these are things that would get us. And he knew that it would ruin a nation. And here's what I'm telling you. I'm watching it at an all-time high here in the United States of America. So I'm going to wade into a few tonight. And what I'm doing is I'm hitting just a few, and I didn't have time to get all of them, so I just prayed which ones I needed to talk about, and these are the ones the Lord gave me. Most of these are warnings to keep you from getting into them, but if you're into them, you can know that you better get out because it also will talk about the consequences of what happens if you get in them. A consequence just happens as a result of indulging or doing something. So when you do something in life, you've got to ask, what's the consequences of me doing this? Will it further the kingdom of God, or is it going to lead me to ruin? And you've got to always be thinking like that. And so I am very aware that consequences are not always looked at when someone jumps into doing something. They're not, well, I wonder what's going to happen if I do this. Nobody thinks that, especially when you're real young. I can go back to my youth and I could think, that was dumb. Why did I do that? I didn't think about the trouble I was going to get into. Or I didn't think about the consequence that was going to happen as a result of it. And you know, in life, a lot of people don't realize the consequence of things till years later. And if we would recognize at the beginning that that could be a vice that could hurt you, some of them aren't even listed as sin per se in the Bible. But let's just talk about smoking. Now, at 16 years old, 15, when your friend says, hey, this tastes good, this is fun, everybody else is doing it, and you start smoking. I'm just telling you, it probably won't hurt you the first few years. I mean, most generally, you don't hear about lung cancer until after you've smoked for years. But when you're in lung cancer and you're sitting here going, wait, I'm getting a lung transplant, how did I get here? Oh, I'd give anything if I hadn't started at 16. But see, people don't think about that consequence, and they indulge in something that years later is going to cost them. Now, an extreme example of what we're talking about tonight is sin and the consequence of that. Let's just use this example, killing someone. Not smart. In fact, it goes against what God has outlined. And if you were to kill someone, what's the consequence of murder? It's prison. And you'll probably spend the rest of your life there. Now, can God forgive you? Will he forgive you? You bet he will. But it doesn't remove the consequence. See, God can forgive sin and does. That's why he came. But the consequence can ruin your life. Or what could have been the rest of your life. We just have issues with giving into things that if we'd have thought it might change our outcome, we probably shouldn't have, and we did anyway. We get there. And here's what starts it all off. So the first Proverbs is out of chapter 25, verse 28. And so the first one I'm talking about is a lack of self-control. It's a vice. It's a bad habit. You just can't, your self-control is gone. Proverbs 25, 28. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Why would a city in that day and time have walls up? For protection. To keep something bad from getting in. So a person without self-control will allow bad stuff to come in and you don't have any protection up. If you can't control your desires, your temptations to do wrong, then you're going to have something else controlling you besides the Spirit of God. Now, God will help you. However, many don't ever ask him because they don't have the self-control to stay in prayer, to stay in the Word. So self-control is a big deal. James chapter 1, 13 through 15. Let me read this. Remember when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God's never tempting to do wrong. He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires. That's what I was just talking about. And they entice us and they drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. You know, you can have a desire that's not in sin, but it'll lead you to sin. Well, that's not a bad desire. Yeah, but the desire can give birth to a sinful action. And when sin, it says, is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So a wrong desire gets you into sin, and the end of sin is death. So we've got to recognize that. And man, this is a message that a lot of us will go, amen. And if you agree, then amen it. Why? Because it's important for our young people to know that the pastor's not the only one talking about this. Parents, you kids need to hear you amening. Let me go to the next one. Self-control and then pride. Pride. Proverbs 16, 18. Too much pride will destroy you. Other translations, pride goes before destruction, a haughty or arrogant spirit before a fall. I love the way the message says. It says, first pride, then the crash. And then it says, the bigger the ego, the harder the fall. It's true. Pretty much a God principle that we all have seen played out in someone's life, prayerfully not our own. But pride is sinful. It's the opposite of humility. And if humility is a God trait, then pride is not. So pride and lack of self-control will get you in trouble. Lack of self-control in some of these areas, Proverbs will help us to see where sin can lead when we lose self-control and we got a little pride going on. What ends up happening is we allow our desires to be exciting that we then find ourselves in sin. So I want you to know that I get that everything is not sinful. The question I have, is it wise? It may not be something I can outline as sin, but is it wise? Because when you're in Proverbs, we've spent weeks now talking about living in wisdom. But here's what you can know. It may not be a sin, but you got to ask yourself this question. Is what I'm doing leading me towards something that is sin, or is what I'm doing leading me towards humility and the things of God? You got to ask yourself that question before you do it. So there's some things you have to watch because they happen and you're heading in a direction you got to find. Wait, is my self-control allowing me to head in a direction that's going to honor God, or is this becoming all about me and I haven't died to the flesh and I'm finding myself in sin? So I'm just continuing to make sure that as we jump into these even more, you'll see what I'm talking about. Next topic that God gave me to talk about is gossip. Gossip. Now, Proverbs 11:13 says a gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. If someone is talking to you and they're talking bad about someone else or a situation that's going on, and they're not bringing constructive help to the situation by talking to you, well, did you hear so-and-so's air conditioning went out? Well, it's probably, you've seen what they've been spending there. I see them every day at going out to eat. They don't even bring lunch. And you just start, yep, yep, yep. Or I heard so-and-so's air conditioning out, and I was wondering if you come help me and let's go over and try to help them get it fixed. See, one is gossip because it's not leading to help, and one is constructive talk that leads to a God's response. You've got to know which way you're headed. Is one taking me into sin, or is one taking me into kingdom thinking? So when I'm talking about gossip, I'm talking about the one that takes you into sin. And so if someone starts out with, now don't tell anyone, you better decide real quick where your self-control and your pride's at. Have you got that under control? Because you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to lead their thinking when they start talking over here to God thinking? Hey, I don't want to hear anything about it. We need to just shut up. Or do we need to head over here and go, let's just jump into sin together? That's a good amen spot. But I'm just telling you, it happens. Ephesians 4:29. Pastor, I don't know if I agree. Hey, listen, it says right here, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to what? Their needs. That it may benefit those who listen. I like that. And we've all got to be careful, because I think that's the reason why God gave me to start out with gossip, because we all have to fight that one. Because we're real quick to talk about what's going on in someone else's life and talk about it negative. The consequence of gossip can damage reputations, can divide friendships. It breaks trust. If you can't say anything good, come on, did your mom ever tell you that? If you can't say anything good, keep your mouth shut. I know the flavor of soap real well. And it wasn't just from bad words. It was things that needed my mouth washed out. You only have good coming out of clean stuff coming out of your mouth. See, that's a good thing. And yes, my mom is here, and you can ask her. It's not a pleasurable memory, but it's one that stuck. You can blow bubbles with the right soap. Here's the next one. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. Proverbs 29:1. Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. Being stubborn is just a part of the sin of rebellion. It really is. There can be consequences that put you against human authority. I understand that. We all have probably faced doing something that was illegal and didn't get caught. But if you ever did get caught by the authorities doing something that was illegal, you came against that and you recognized that there was a consequence to you doing it. But see, going against God's commands, going against God's instructions, going against God's warnings because you're just stubborn is real stupidity. It's just the epitome of being stupid. When you know it could be fatal, it could end in death. The last thing you want to be doing is a heinous crime that God's going to judge without warning, and you're not able to recover from. Wait, well, how did this happen? You didn't think on the front end your stubbornness. Well, she's stubborn and he's stubborn too. They're just both stubborn. Well, that needs to be really looked at, and somebody needs to make a change, preferably both of you. Get rid of some stubbornness, according to Proverbs. Anger, let's go on. Be slow to anger. Proverbs 19:11. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Sensible people control their temper. Anger will ruin you. Or you can be great on earth by ruling your anger. Anger will either rule you or you'll rule it. And you'll have to make a decision. See, the choice is yours. Are you getting angry about getting angry? You need to. That's the good side of it. Wait, I'm not heading there. See, you can be angry and not sin. I get that. But there is a place that anger turns into sin. See, living continually angry opens the door for that anger to jump into a sinful action. And I'm just telling you, it's easy. You just can't drive in Springfield anymore without fighting this. You just can't. You're going to get angry. Let's go on, because I don't have time to go into a whole sermon on it. Envy. Envy. Proverbs 27:4. Anger is cruel, and wrath is like a flood. But jealousy or envy is even more dangerous. Ooh, that's a good one. Envy is about as bad as it gets. You hide it in your heart, but it eats at you day and night. It does nothing to the person that you're envious or jealous of. It's a battery acid that don't affect anybody else but you. And it just gets in and ruins you. It's a rottenness in your bones. It corrupts your spirit. It corrupts your body. But here's the thing. It makes you not happy for other people's success. It makes you not glad for other people's step up or advantage. It's like you want them to fail. You got to be careful not to be jealous and not to be envious. Backsliding is the next one. Backsliding. Jumping on through these. Going from good behavior and a way of living life according to the Word of God, and next thing you find is yourself you forgot to be doing. You once were just sold out to kingdom principles, and then you find, where am I at? What am I thinking? Proverbs 14, verse 4. Backsliders get what they deserve. Good people receive their reward. I don't want you to know I'm not just coming up with these topics. These topics are right out of Scripture, and they're right out of Proverbs, and they're really big. See, backsliding will bite you because God won't let you get away with it. He's not going to just sit there and go, oh, yeah, just go ahead and not act the way you're supposed to be acting when you know better. You know better. Proverbs 4:23, wisdom includes keeping your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you let your heart slip to seriously consider any sin, judgment is near. You don't want a taste of the goodness of God and then go back. Come on, we've tasted the goodness of God. It's awesome. But going back, having once tasted, is horrible. It's like getting pie and then eating your green beans. Maybe that's a bad example. My mind goes to food. I'm going to get to food here in a second. Laziness. Laziness. Proverbs 19:24. Lazy people take food in their hand, but don't even lift it to their mouth. I love that verse. That's lazy now. Lazy people will take it in their hand, but don't even get it up to their mouth. Laziness reminds me of a sloth. I don't know if any been to Wonders of Wildlife when they had that sloth. Now, I heard he passed away. I don't know if they knew that or not, but he didn't move for a few days. So it's not a joke. They had to wait a little bit to find out if he's still breathing. You can't tell. This sloth would move in slow motion everywhere it went. And a sloth has no movement for long durations. The closest thing to seeing death is a lazy person. Because there's no movement. See, the sin of laziness makes a person a sluggard. Proverbs 12:24, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. All right, going on, bad attitudes. Once again, this may not be you, but we probably are going to hit one of them that identifies with us. Because we all have to fight these things because we are tempted by our own evil desires. And this may be a desire you got to watch so it don't turn into sin. A bad attitude. Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a happy face. Think about that. A broken heart crushes the spirit. Now you have to know what this means. But before I get there, let me give you another verse that talks about a crushed spirit in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:14. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? A crushed spirit in Scripture is referring to one who is depressed or wounded in the heart. And someone who is depressed or wounded, their face will show it because they don't see the happiness. Now, there are times that you can fake it, but not to someone who is walking in any type of discernment and knows you. Now, here's what I want you to know. When I'm talking about a crushed spirit, I'm not talking about a medical concern that's beyond someone's ability to control. So hear me, even though I do believe that God can take care of that also. But depression is often a choice. Now, you may never have heard this, but I want you to hear me. It's the choice to view things critically and negatively, or to see things from a positive and hope-filled outlook. See, such an attitude of depression and looking things critically and negatively, it colors and clouds a person's life. And before long, you find yourself in a troubled mess. See, there's others who choose to be happy, and the reason that is a choice is because of how they view things. You can't just say, I'm going to be happy. You got to change your view. Your view and your outlook have to change, and you have to see a view based on a spiritual eye instead of a flesh eye. And the only way you can do that is through the Word of God manifesting itself in everything you do. That's why you need to put post-it notes of Scripture everywhere. Proverbs 15, verse 15, for the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. And I want you to know, it's not just a product of getting it, it's a product of keeping it and every day winning on your outlook. So Proverbs talks about all these things, but talking about a happy heart is like a continual feast. I want to talk about the last few minutes. Proverbs has a lot to say about eating and drinking. And eating and drinking causes vices in people's lives. So let's just read, because this is one that you'll hear at some point when we're talking about food and drink. Proverbs 23, verse 20. Do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons, for they're on their way to poverty. Drunkards is in the exact same sentence, look at this, as gluttons. Both of those are really, 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 really going to cause destruction, poverty, and a loss of the riches of God. I'm not talking about physical riches. I'm talking about the things that God has promised his people when you indulge. See, both put you on a path, and that path ends in poverty. Now, I want to ask you a question, and everybody should get this right. Is it a sin to eat? No. Obviously, it's not a sin to eat, but gluttony is a sin. So you've got to be careful about gluttony. Proverbs 23:2, put a knife to your throat if you're given to the appetite. That's pretty direct. If you're thinking and it's occupying your mind all the, be careful you don't eat, let me say it like this, to the point that it controls you. That's all you think about. So once again, we just go right back to the first thing we talked about, self-control. Self-control. You've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. And all of us, come on, all of us have one of these we have faced and had to fight. So I'm not picking one out and looking at one person and say, boy, I hope you got that. I hope you. See, I'm not here to judge and to put, I'm just talking about what the Word said. So I asked if it was a sin to drink, so let me, or to eat. Let me ask this. Is drinking a sin? And let me just go out and before you answer that, is drinking a sin? Because I'm not going to shy away from this topic. It's the number one question I've had in the 20 years of being pastor. So I won't shy away from it. Is it a sin to drink? And let me just tell you, they're not talking about lemonade. Unless something else is with it. Is it a sin to drink? It's a good question. And I want you to know, as I've been asked this, I am asked just as equally as much, Pastor, what is your opinion on drinking? And let me just tell you, my opinion doesn't matter. Everybody has one in this topic. So what do you think about it? Well, I have an opinion, but I want to know that my opinion is based on what the Word of God says. So I know that there are two different views because there are denominations that's built around this view being it okay, and there are others that the opinion's even over here. Now, if you notice, I'm headed towards sin. If we're using the same example I was a while ago, there's an opinion that you got to be able to drink anything you want, however much you want, and still serve the kingdom. But then there's an opinion over here, you should never drink anything and nothing should ever touch your lips. Even medicinally, it's wrong. Well, you obviously have missed all of Scripture. See, we can get in this ditch on either side. Anything goes or it's not okay at all. Let's go to the Word. And we just read that it's not okay to carouse with gluttons. But it's not okay to carouse with drunkards. So wouldn't that tell you that being a drunk is sinful? Same as being a glutton is. So I'm not picking one out above the other, but Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Okay, did that just not tell you that you can be led astray by it? That's exactly what it said. So I can handle it. It's not going to lead me astray. Maybe you can, but I think it's the maturest of the mature that need to even be, that's why we have age limits on it, because we know what it can cause. Now, when I'm asked, here's what I usually say. I have yet to see in my own personal life, this is an opinion, this is testimony, I have yet to see in my own personal life, my personal life, a Zoe life be produced from alcohol. A God kind of life. I've just yet to see it. And in my own personal life as a pastor, I have seen a lot of families get totally torn up. I've watched divorces, and I've sat in counseling sessions with numerous people that their lives have been destroyed because of someone in their family drinking. So, I've never seen anyone draw closer to the Lord and open an open avenue for God to be glorified with alcohol. I've just never seen it. So what does the Bible say about it? Because obviously the Bible says it's permitted. You just can't get drunk. That's the biggest debate that you get into. All right, I want you to know I agree. It's permitted. But that's not the end of my story. So you have to hear the rest. Who is it for? It's permitted for a certain people. And so how should we as God's people think about it? Is it wise for people to drink for pleasure? That's a question. Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. Who has anguish? Who has sorrow? Who is always fighting? Who is always complaining? Who has unnecessary bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? It is the one who spends long hours in the taverns trying out new drinks. Don't gaze at the wine, seeing how red it is, how it sparkles in the cup, how smoothly it goes down. Does that not seem like it is for entertainment? Sure. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous snake and it stings like a viper. You will see hallucinations and you will say crazy things. You will stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to a swaying mast. And you will say, they hit me, but I didn't feel it. I didn't even know it when they beat me up. When will I wake up so I can look for another drink? That is what Solomon said. Who is it that drinks this? This is who it is. This will never be your story if it never touches your mouth. It just won't be. Now, well, Pastor, you still didn't prove it. Okay, let me keep talking because I want to give a biblical, why I see biblically where I'm at and why I don't touch it. Proverbs 31, verse 4. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. It's not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for, okay, here's the ones who can drink. Let beer be for those who are perishing. Wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. All right, we've got to set some background here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Actually, foreground, because we want to use the New Testament scripture that makes sense with all of this. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Everyone say royal priesthood. That's who we are as God's people. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's who we are. Revelation 1:6 says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests. Everybody say, I'm a king. That only because of Jesus, you're a king. But we're using scripture here. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Romans 8:17 says we are joint heirs with Christ. That means we get everything he's got. We're his royal children. Okay, so we're royal priesthood, we're kings, and we're priests. Let's go back to Proverbs 31. It's not for royalty to drink. That is why I don't think it's for me. It's not for royalty to crave, based on what we just read in Proverbs. And that gives me the reason as to why, because it can cause me to forget what I should be doing. It could. Well, it doesn't. It can. Therefore, I'd rather not touch it to my lips. So who is alcohol for? It just said right here in verse 5 of chapter 31, here's who alcohol is for. It's for the perishing. It's for those in anguish. They need to forget their poverty and their misery. Who is perishing and in anguish and is not rich in God's kingdom and who is in misery? Who are those people? They're the unsaved. That's who they are. So I see those who are there and the ones who don't know Jesus as perishing because they don't have everlasting life. I'm not perishing. I got everlasting life. So that's not me. I'm not in anguish. My hope is in Jesus. This is who I am. I'm not any of those things. Therefore, alcohol is not something that I'm in need of and not necessary for my life. Now, medicinally speaking, I have no trouble with it at all. But with any medicine, use caution. Addiction can occur. Just like with pain pills or anything else. Now, I just want you to know that's what I have to say biblically about it. So my opinion don't matter, but that's where I see scripture has led me to the resolve that I live with. And here's what I don't do. I don't condemn anyone who does. They don't have to see it the way I do, but I'm responsible for how I live. And as pastor of Christian Ministries Church, you need to know I don't straddle the fence on topics. If it's in scripture, I'm going to study it and I'm going to be approved because I show myself based on what the Bible says. But here's the thing. I also, someone who don't lack self-control, they just need Jesus. See, someone who's in pride, they just need Jesus. Someone who's a gossip, they just need an understanding of who Jesus is. Stubbornness, they just need to quit being stubborn. The only way that can happen is if you get Jesus, who is your ruler, your chief, the one who's going to operate and tell you what you're doing. Anger, someone who's anger. We've got to get to a place where we don't become the judge. That's not who we are. We're helping people. Someone who's dealing with envy, backsliding, laziness, a bad attitude, all of those things. That someone who is a glutton, we pray for them and we help them when God opens the door and when we can find a way to help. It's no different with alcohol. I have helped family after family who has dealt with that, and I've helped just as many that deal with anger. So all of those things are things that you have to be careful about, and based on Proverbs, make sure that you've got self-control and no pride, and before you do something, know that there's a consequence. And is that consequence going to move you to the principles of God, or are they going to move you into something that you got to watch out? This could lead me into sin. And sin will eventually lead me into death. So those are some topics out of Proverbs about vices, bad habits, and wrong thinking when it comes to our life and how we live. I hope you got something out of that tonight.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.